Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, a very dangerous thing happened in Georgia. It may be corrected in the courts. Let's get right into it. You know that the Republicans are attacking our elections. You know that they're even attacking it here in Wisconsin with this Gableman Cyber Ninja audit at your expense. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. But in some places, there have been death threats against poll workers, death threats against healthcare professionals. A lot of people are resigning as health commissioners in different counties because they get death threats over vaccine mandates, some of which they didn't even impose. It's especially bad in Georgia. Georgia is a changing state. It elected Jonathan Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. It's produced Stacey Abrams, a great patriot and a stateswoman, and I'm hoping the next governor of Georgia. But in one of the rural counties in Georgia, there were a couple of poll workers, a mother and a daughter, and they simply were regular poll workers, regulation card carrying poll workers. They were just poll workers. My mom was a poll worker when she was alive up in the Random Lake, Boltonville, Kewaskum area. She was the deputy postmaster in Adel. I don't know if you know where Adel is. It's a nice little town. And so she knew the whole area, and she'd be a poll worker. And when there was an election, she'd go down with her buddies, and they'd all, you know, they obviously scrupulously honest. Everybody knew them. Well, these are the kind of folks that are getting death threats now. They're getting death threats. And they're only doing their job. And frankly, they're not doing anything all that remarkable in their job. I mean, they check people in. They don't turn anybody away. People have IDs. And if occasionally somebody doesn't have the right ID, they say, go home and get one, and that's it. Well, the right wing has castigated all poll workers as somehow agents of the deep state. So there are these poll workers in Georgia that started getting death threats, mother and daughter. And they were really severe. And then one day, a couple of guys show up with handcuffs to make a citizen's arrest of these two women. Sort of like the Gretchen Whitmer thing, but not as prominent because they're not as well known. And then another group came to citizen's arrest them. Remember what happened in the Ahmaud Arbery case? Georgia had a law that said that you could make a citizen's arrest. Now, when you were a kid, you may have grown up hearing, oh, I can do a citizen's arrest. You don't know the history of it. The history of it was to benefit slave owners in the antebellum South. Antebellum, A-N-T-E, means before the war, before 1861. If you were a slave owner in Georgia in the 1830s and a slave escaped, anybody was deputized under the citizen's arrest statute to, quote, arrest, end quote, that slave and slave person and return him to you where he'd be savagely treated. That was Georgia. And that was not only Georgia. That was a lot of areas in the South. In the Ahmaud Arbery case, these characters chase him in a pickup truck to make a, quote, citizen's arrest. They think they have the right to do it. And they shoot him. They kill him. And it goes to the DA woman, and she goes, well, they're trying to make a citizen's arrest. She's now been indicted on a felony, is facing criminal charges for doing that. The legislature, even the Republicans, got rid of the citizen's arrest slave owner statute. I do not know if it's been gotten rid of in every state. I don't know if it's been gotten rid of in Texas or a lot of other places. It should be. But in any event, these characters go to, quote, arrest, end quote, the poll workers for what? At least a citizen's arrest. I mean, supposedly he committed a crime of some sort. And when you were an enslaved person in Georgia in the 1830s, it was a crime to escape, believe it or not. So in this case, these two women go to the FBI, and the mom has a purse making business. She buys leather and makes purses, very, very good artistic kind of purses. That's how they support themselves. And you know what the FBI says? We're going to investigate this. but we advise you to leave your home and your business for 2 months. For 2 months. What? They're supposed to leave their home and their business? And what? Is the FBI going to pay their rent somewhere else and give them the income, the meager income they got out of making purses? No, hell no. And they go away. They go away. Shut down your purse-making business and go away for 2 months. Well, this time, and first of all, I haven't heard that these people who threatened them have been arrested. I haven't heard that there are any criminal charges down there. The people who threatened them, the people who went to kidnap them, should serve 10 years in prison. The people who threatened them should get 3 to 5 years in prison. You got to stop this. You got to stop this. You can't just wait till they try to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan because she's well known and then prosecute them. These people have to go to jail, like the insurrectionists on January 6th. And one of them got a $500 fine. They slapped him on the wrist. Come on. Come on. This is the nub of fascism, of attacking democracy. When a fascist party goes to the homes of people administering our elections and tries to kidnap them or threaten them, that's how you destroy democracy. Everything else is chin music. Well, these two women in Georgia did something very, very good. They are suing the people who did this for damages. For damages. In other words, they're lost of business for 2 months. They're having to go away for 2 months and for what that did to them in their lives. Now, let's unpack that for a little bit. Obviously, they should get damages. That's a no-brainer. They should get punitive damages. But the problem is, what about jail time for these people? Where's the government in this? Why should they have to sue for damages? How much did you make in your purse-making business? $1,000 a month. Okay, 2 months is $2,000. Here's $2,000. And how much was the rent? Well, we went to a budget tell somewhere, and it cost us $40 a night. Okay, here's your $40 a night. Get out of here. Come on. Come on. How about prison for these guys? How about prison for these guys? And one of the problems in punitive damages, you could say, all right, we'll impose punitive damages of $10 million. Even that wouldn't compensate them, in my view, for the terror of being, of trying to be kidnapped. But you can't do that anymore. There is Supreme Court precedent that said that the punitive damages have to have some proportional relationship to the actual damages. And this, these women made no money really in their purse-making business. And the rent for 2 months somewhere down there is pretty trivial. And these people couldn't pay large damages anyway. It must be handled through the criminal justice system. People who try to kidnap folks must go to prison. Just like people who chase a guy in the pickup truck to make a citizen's arrest and shoot him are going to prison. People who think it's cool to pick up the phone and threaten somebody, you can get voice recognition software, you can figure it out, they must go to prison. Their relatives and their friends have got to know that they're in the slammer, that they're bad people, that they have criminal convictions. If you permit our poll workers, listen, in Arizona, a couple of guys show up, try to kidnap the principal. They have zip tie handcuffs because there was a mask mandate to protect the kids. That's got to stop. That's got to stop. We are slapping people on the wrist. That's got to stop. Coming to a break, lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.